Hey, good morning. My name's Michael. I am a elder here at the Bridge. And this is truly a blessing to be up here. I never even imagined that 5 years ago I'd be here sharing this with you, this message today. Pastor hit it right on the head. We got to get rid of the distractions. And, I had a couple distractions that I needed to get rid of. So, would you all pray with me? Father God, thank you so much for giving us this time to be with you, Lord. I pray that this message comes straight from you through me, Lord. But it's not of me, but it's only of you. I pray that we have transparency and truth comes out this day. From beginning to end, I know that you have been showing me these things, and I just want to share them with my brothers and sisters here today from beginning to end to see so that they can use these tools that you've given me in their walk with you, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, I had originally prepared a whole bunch of pictures and that kind of thing of things that remind you of different things, but this morning God led me a different way. As some of you know, Duran and I have gotten a call to go to Vermont, and this is where this sermon actually started. Was we got the call, and I'm like, really? We're going to go to Vermont? And I'm like, well, that's going to take a lot of courage. I'm going to have to, that's going to take a lot of things to happen in order for that to happen, Lord. And, you know, one thing that I learned through all the mentoring and what God's revealed to me and the people who love me and surround me is, you know what, go to Scripture for your answers. And that's where I asked God. I said, God, show me a place where I could go ahead and walk through Scripture. Walk me through somebody else that you walked with, obviously Jesus. But he showed me somebody different. What he showed me was Joshua. Bringing into where Joshua was, he took Moses' place. This comes back in a time in Scripture where God had chosen a people to represent him to the rest of the nations, to glorify him. And he was using these people to build the nation and on the surrounding nations around him. Excuse me for one moment. Okay. So what he did was he showed me in Scripture that there's six pillars of 1 through 9. But before we start reading deep into that, we got to go back and find out what God was actually doing with Moses. And with Moses, what he was doing, as I told you, he was building a nation. He was actually going to take a people of slaves and turn them into priests to represent him, to be his ambassadors. He chose Moses to be his person of peace in that. Now, Pearson of Peace, well, he's conquering, he's threatening, he's doing all these things. Don't look at that yet. Hold up. Moses, he led well, but unfortunately he fell short. He sinned. And he never got to go into the promised land. So God withheld this victory from Moses. So Moses dies, but God leads Joshua to go ahead and take his place. Now, Joshua had been with Moses since the parting of the Red Sea. He had experienced all these things, and God was preparing him, and that's where we come. The first pillar that we came to was God provides the purpose, and that's what that was. The purpose, what God is doing, everything that we do should glorify him, and that's what he was doing with the people of Israel, is he was shaping them and molding them so that they would glorify him in everything that they did. And he went to great lengths to do that. If you crack your Bible open, start from Exodus and read on up, and you'll find that they went through a lot of crazy stuff going on. But anyway, we get to Joshua 1:1-9. And this is where it really begins. We start to discover who God chooses as his people. God provides his people. Now we see where God chooses his people. I'll read the verse to you. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, there's a couple things we got to look at in there. And that is, God's commissioning Joshua. He's saying, I'm choosing you to go ahead and do this. He's chosen by God. He was a person of peace, and he was chosen to conquer. That's important. Are we hearing from God? Are we hearing from God? You know, we get the call, but has God been preparing you for something? Has God been calling you to do something with what he's telling you? Joshua was prepared for the mission. If you read from Exodus to Deuteronomy, you'll see about 10 different times where God is just, boom, putting them right in the, filling gaps here and there. Joshua was already leading in his own tribe. Joshua was trusted by Moses. Moses trusted Joshua more than he did any of the other 12, the other people who went as spies into the promised land, which we're going to learn about in a little bit. And most important thing, Joshua had the Holy Spirit in him. We can't obey God unless we have the Holy Spirit, not truly obey him. There's something important here too. Moses and Joshua have something very much in common, and that is a servant's heart. Servant's heart doesn't do things for themselves. I got this out of an article called A Christian Perspective. A person with a true servant's heart does not just obey God's law because he or she has been ordered to, but because they earnestly desire to please and love God and do his will. You know, we're going to come to verse 2-4 now. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now for arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them. God is proclaiming his plan into action. Again, we see God is speaking. Like he spoke creation, he now speaks his plan into action. God proclaims the time is now. Well, I looked in the Greek, and now means now. But there's two things that are really super important here in those last verses. Here we see God proclaims a miracle. And you got to look at the order of things in this. He says that first you need to cross the Jordan, and then everything else will take place. Well, crossing the Jordan was a miracle, right? And here at the Bridge, we talk about the miracle, the Messiah, and the mission. You can't get to the Messiah or do the mission unless you've received the miracle. The miracle of saving grace. This is so important. If you go around above the cross or below the cross, go around it, if you don't receive that miracle of saving grace, everything that you do, it doesn't matter. If it's not for the purpose of glorifying God, it does not matter. We also see here the proclamation of possession. And what I'm talking about is the promised land. This was considered, in our day, this would be considered the honey hole. You know what I mean? It's like the best land ever. The spies reported on it. They said that it was the land flowing with milk and honey. But the spies, 10 of the spies, Joshua and Caleb were 2 out of the 10 spies. 10 spies said that it was unobtainable. But Joshua and Caleb were the only ones who had faith that God would go ahead and provide a way for them to get through. Now, do you see why Joshua was now being asked to lead, or not asked, being told to lead the people? How do we bring it into our context? Is what piece of land are you thinking about right now that's too hard, that you think is too hard to obtain? What's going on in your life that God's telling you that belongs to you? I want it. At the cross, I want it. That's what Jesus says to us. He says, at the cross, I won that piece of land. That belongs to you. You need to go get it. Why are we struggling with that? Do we not believe? So, now we lead into verses 5 and 6. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people's possessions of the land which I swore to their fathers and to give them. This one's got a lot of stuff in it. These verses right here, you see the power of protection. He's saying you're going to be undefeatable. When I give you my power, nobody can go ahead and defeat you. I do not fail. We all hear that. I do not fail. There's two really super important ones here, and that's the power of presence and the power of promise. He says, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. If I'm putting you on a mission, I'm not just going to send you out and not be with you to complete this task. And it's telling you, I'm not going to leave you hanging in the midst of the mission either. I'm going to be available to you all the time. He also shows us the power of encouragement. He says, be strong and courageous. He says that several times in these verses. He's given you the attitude that we're not, you know, meek. I run into this all the time. People thinking that being a Christian, a follower of Jesus, that meek equals weak, and it doesn't. We have the power of God in us. If we're truly God's person, peace, we have the power in us to go ahead and help change lives and lead people to Christ. It's the truth. If you've received that miracle, you'll know that. You'll feel that in you. That's the Holy Spirit working in you, nudging at you, telling you, get outside the box. You know, it's one thing to say you are, but it's another thing to be totally obedient to who you say you are in me. To follow Christ means to be like Christ. When people look at you, do they see Christ? Or do they see you? That's what I ask myself every day. Is Christ visible in my life? Do people see Michael or do they see Christ? How's my walk of faith these days? Am I still putting all of my faith in God's provision every day? Or am I still thinking that I got to go ahead and take the reins here, or I got to do this to go ahead and make it work because I think that's where I need to meet God? You know, every time I pick up the reins, it turns into a disaster. It really does. When I stop putting faith in Him, when I think that my way is better than His, I'm just reflecting what happened back in the Garden of Eden. Oh, I know better than God. I'll just go ahead and do it my way. Bam. I'm separated from Him again. You know, all right, Lord, I'm sorry. Get on my knees, repent, ask for forgiveness. Reel back in. So, we see also here I will not fail you or forsake you. How many times has we put our faith in things and they failed us and didn't go ahead and keep their promises? We've been let down by them. Christ never fails us. He completed His mission all the way through. We're going to go into verses 7 and 8. And this is where God provides the passion. And this is a passion for obedience. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all that the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then will you make your way prosperous, and then will you have success. What God's telling us here is that you need to passionately pursue faithful obedience. Why is that so important? Well, God hates sin with a passion. He hated it so much, He sent His only Son to die for our sins. So what He's telling us is, hey, you got to love what I love and hate what I hate. And when you get in tune with me, there's going to be, when you start doing that, that's when you're going to have this peace. He says here not to be compromising, not to be distracted. In other words, don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right. You stay the course. When I tell you to go ahead and stay the course, it means stay the course. I don't know about you. There's lots of times I go ahead and, you know, all right, God, squirrel, you know, or, you know, and I get distracted, or I start thinking, you know, all right, I'm going to go. It'll be me and you, God. Let me go ahead. And that's what this was all about right here in the beginning of this sermon. I'm going to add a little bit of me into it. And that's why if it sounds like it's a little not as smooth as it probably should be, it's because I had to pull my will out, and I'm asking God to go ahead and fill those voids in. And I apologize for doing that to you. But as our passion and obedience increases, we should feel more and more peace with God because we're doing His will. You'll just feel it and you'll know it. When we do the right things according to His ways, it's the greatest peace and joy of knowing, even if it's painful, even if we're struggling through it, it's the greatest joy ever just to walk, know that you walked with Him and that He led you through what was going on. The outcome doesn't matter. It's the matter that you got to be with Him, that you heard from Him, and that you got to do it with Him, God, the Creator, Jesus, you got to do it. And that leads us, we have an audience of one. And I think too many times we get hung up on, oh, I got to go ahead and follow this rule that this person says, or I got to follow this rule that that person says, or that's going to be politically incorrect. You know, if you love God, then you've got an audience of one. He's the only one that matters. Right? Whether this world tells you right or wrong, He's the only one. And when you have that peace, we're getting into peace now. And this is where God provides His peace. Verse 9, God's reassurance of His command to Joshua. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is God providing His peace through the assurance of His eternal presence. He promised that He's going to be there. He's going to be there. He's the God of creation. He spoke it into place. All these other pillars lead up to this. You should have peace in knowing that He's commissioned you to do the mission, and that wherever He takes you, we're going to be okay. He's going to break any chains that may be in the way. He's going to go ahead and stop any rivers. He's going to give us the miracles when they need to happen. He's going to provide the ways. He's going to provide the connections. We saw that in Vermont, where it didn't look like there was much peace going on. We were having a peace rally, and it didn't look like there was much peace happening. You know, people were just walking by, that kind of thing. And all of a sudden, these two people come by and they start to share with us. And it was such a blessing to hear them say what we talk about here at the Bridge all the time. It's the true church. We had such a contrast back then of what the cookie cutter church is compared to what the church, what Jesus says the church in the Bible should be, look like. And we caught a remnant of that. And I don't know about anybody else on the mission team. That great gave me great peace. That really was God's way of giving the encouragement, the courage, and to be fearless and to know that there's others out there just like us who are not all caught up on religion, who are loving God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving one another as themselves. Jesus said, those are the greatest commands. Live that. If you do that, Pastor said, if you do that, you can do anything else you want. You know? If you're loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, go do what you want after that. That's where you get the peace. That's where the peace happens. And so we looked at all these pillars. We looked at the provision of purpose, the provision of the people who He chooses. And try to make this personal too. What's your purpose in life for God? To glorify Him. You should have peace in knowing that He chose you. That should give you such great joy. That He proclaims you. You proclaim Him. That He gives you the power, everything you need for life and godliness. He gives you that power. He gives you the passion for obedience. And knowing that obedience will ultimately provide the peace. And that was the last pillar, was peace. So these provisions, they work all throughout the gospel, all throughout the books, all throughout the Bible. They work into our lives. These pillars are just as important then as they are now. God's commission to Joshua back then is the same as Jesus' commission to us is today. Let me read that commission to see if you can relate. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, and this is Matthew 28:18-20. This is considered the Great Commission. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is the same promise. It's eternal promise. Go make disciples. That's what we believe here at the Bridge, is to go make disciples. That's our battle cry. God will break the chains so that can happen. He'll provide that for us. And I pray that this touches you in the way that it did me, because I know going into Vermont, not knowing, still having a lot of things that are up in the air, I know that He'll provide. Even if I get all the way to Vermont and He says to go home, all right, absolutely. I've seen Him work too much in the people here, in the lives in Vermont. I've just seen God work too much not to believe that. Will you pray with me? Father God, thank you so much for this opportunity to come here and share your word. Thank you for changing the direction. Thank you for touching hearts today. Thank you for seeing in me what I could never. Thank you for pulling us out of the depths of our pit and bringing us your Son to save us. Lord, I pray that we rely solely on your provisions, that we look to hear from you always, that we know that in you, your Son Christ, Jesus, all things are possible. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to play some videos. Pastor Jeff and Pastor Mike, if they would come up, we'll have people come up and pray. And these videos are going to be shots of some of the things that happened while we were in Vermont, where some of the chains were being broken. I would ask that you sit and saturate and watch. And then after that, there'll be some other videos, and you can be released after that. All right? All right. Have a blessed day.